listening to This Is Some Scary Shit with your host, Salem Alexandria.
What is up, my coven of cuties? It is your ghostess with the mostest, Salem, and I am here with the talented, the amazing, and the lovely Arthur Angelo.
Hi, guys.
How you doing, Artie? How you doing today?
Today's been a beautiful day. How about yourself?
Fun. So, would you like to introduce yourself to everyone?
My name is Arthur Angelo. I play Max in When a Scream is Heard Part 1. I am a rapper and an actor, and I'm just really excited to be here with you guys.
Thank you so much for even coming on today. I know that you had a busy day planned. Arthur is also one of the co-directors on When a Scream is Heard as well. And for those of you who don't know, When a Scream is Heard Part 1 is actually a Scream fan film that me and Arthur are attached to with an amazing cast that we have. Katie Lynn Mason, Cody Boost, April. Like, there's so many of us that are just so great. Sam, like, I love so many of them. But When a Scream is Heard Part 1 is a Scream fan film that partially takes place at the same time as Scream 5, and the remainder of the film takes place during or a little bit after the events of Scream 6. And outside of that, I play a character named Alexis McDaniel, who is the little sister of Hallie McDaniel, while Arthur plays Maximus Altieri, the younger brother of Mickey Altieri from Scream 2. So, Artie, how do you like Max?
I adore him. I find him to be very, which is surprising where he's at, you know what I mean? What he's facing. For the most part, he's like a calm person. And he has a lot to say. And I think, unfortunately, a lot of what he has to say isn't heard at first. It's kind of like maybe like often misunderstood. So it's been really interesting to have the opportunity to be able to play someone with that cadence around their character. And it's been really fun. And I believe in him. I believe in Max.
I definitely love that. And I loved your portrayal of the character too, because we were able to bounce off of each other. And it's so funny because, like, towards the beginning, with everything that happened with, like, the postponing of filmings, I feel like there was a little bit of animosity there for real at some point in time. So, like, I felt like it was really good for our characters. And, you know, I love you as Max. I feel like I couldn't see Alexis sharing the screen with anybody else aside from you. So that's great. But no, I totally definitely understand where you're coming from with the being, the misunderstood character, definitely, especially with your character being the brother of a serial killer and my character being the little sister of the character that your brother killed. So it's like, I don't know. I really love how contrasting our characters are. I love how when you meet Alexis, she's happy, she's in love, she's engaged, and she's like partying with her best friend, having a sleepover. And then after this traumatic experience happens a second time in her life, fast forward to, you know, everything that's happened after New York, and now that was in October, this is in December, and she's just a completely, like, angry, hateful person, and I'm sorry your character got the brunt end of that.
I'm not gonna lie, it made it fun as an actor to be able to, like, work off that, you know what I mean? Yeah. If I'm to dive deeper, I would say a lot of it was kind of like injustice, you know what I mean? This kind of like shadow that follows Max that he doesn't deserve. So it was very fun.
I love that. I love that so much. And I really loved how you actually owned that part. Like, you definitely lean into it. Which brings me to the next topic of our conversation, which is basically a dissection of our characters. I know for me, with Alexis's character, I pulled from a lot of the loss that I experienced, and I'm sure that you can also, you know, relate to that, because during everything that we went through, whether it was 2023 or 2022, like me and you experienced a lot of loss. And it was just like, and I definitely know, like I said earlier, like me and you, we bounced off of each other towards the beginning. We had a lot going on and you could feel that we had a lot going on towards the beginning. But I love how that, played out on screen. I do love the contrast between Alexis at the beginning and Alexis at the end, because Alexis at the beginning, like I said, she was happy. You see so much of her personality and who she was. And then fast forward to what's going on in the rest of the film, and she's like the shell of a person. She's angry. She has pent up animosity and just unnecessary anger towards a lot of people. And one thing that I really have grown to love about Alexis and just these fan films in general is that it's put this perspective in my head of how I want her to be portrayed, because, you know, regardless of my feelings of where the Scream franchise stands right now with everything that's going on with the unjust firing of Melissa Barrera and everything, but I've always seen Sydney Prescott as the perfect final girl. You know, Sydney Prescott is the one who, right? She is the final girl who throws herself into the ring of fire for those that she loves. You know, Dewey told her not to come back after he left. She came back anyways. That's who Sydney is. And I've always seen Samantha Carpenter, one of my favorite final girls. I've seen how she struggles with that darkness and she struggles with everything that she goes through, especially as someone who is a bipolar paranoid schizophrenic. So it's like me having mental issues as well, and the same as her. It's like you have Sydney, who is the perfect final girl. You have Sam, who is the one struggling with darkness. So I wanted to portray Alexis in an accurate portrayal where if we have these two, what kind of final girl does that make Alexis? Does that make her the one that's going to actually 100% give in to that darkness and, you know, don the ghost face mask, or is it going to go a different direction for her? Like, you never know. So I'm definitely curious as to how deeply you see your character and how you see your character.
Well, not to backtrack, but it's funny because remember how you said we were, you and I personally, we were going through our own personal stuff, which kind of created this like animosity just for a little bit. But it's funny because it kind of turned it into like a method acting approach, which was really fun. But yeah, I see a lot of growth within Max. You know, he walks in and like I said, he has this shadow, this darkness around him that he doesn't deserve. Or does he? the way I went into it is that he doesn't deserve it. You know what I mean? You can't decide who your relatives are.
Exactly.
And so there's a lot of, and not just with Max. I mean, I was thinking about this, you know, even as co-directing, you know what I mean? A big pivotal thing that I loved about the script was there's this, just this huge injustice for all the characters, because none of them deserved this. And then it's that, that understanding, I believe, has the audience feel compassion towards the characters almost like automatically.
Exactly.
So when it comes to Max, he's just trying to, you know, prove himself. And I won't go into my personal life details, but I will say I definitely can relate to that injustice, you know, the justice system and all that stuff.
Exactly.
So I definitely was able to relate to him.
Most definitely.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. I believe in him.
He is. And I, like I said, I can't think of a more talented person to have brought him from script to screen. But, and I think what established that for me is, without giving any spoilers, me and Arthur share a scene that I feel like we both fell in love with. And it was that scene where he was constantly just like, when are we going to film the scene? When are we going to film the scene? And I'm just like, oh my God. But it's like, it's such a simple scene, but the intimacy of it, I'll say that, the intimacy and the dynamic, and you genuinely get to see us letting our guard down around each other, basically, after everything that we went through, going, you know, doing all of this. So it was really great. And I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And
that's, I will say that that scene in particular, and I'm sure people will be able to understand after they see the movie what we're talking about, that is my favorite scene of the movie.
Probably one of mine too, aside from one of April's scenes towards the end. I definitely feel like our scene, and like, we had such an awesome cast. We literally have such awesome cast. Like, I just love it so much. Like, it was just, it's just been a good time. I just loved it all around. Like, if I could take every last one of these individuals into the sequel, I could, but fortunately we know that's not how it goes. But that brings me to my actual next question. Where do you see, what do you want to see from Max?
What I want to see from Max?
Aside from survival.
Of course, survival, number one. But I want to see him be able to paint his own damn picture. You know what I mean? I'm tired of just circumstances surrounding his last name, basically grabbed a paintbrush and painted his life story when that wasn't there, right? So I want him to be able to tell his story how he sees fit, his truth. I want my man to like, to get his right. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Put respect on his name.
I think I love that so much. And I think that Max is one of those characters who's definitely deserving of that, you know, because especially with everything that he goes through in this first one and putting him through the ringer, I definitely would love, you know, outside of his survival, I would definitely love to see where these characters go, not just separately, but you know, together. So it's like, because just like with Scream, the original four films, and even with 5 and 6, these characters become a team. They become a family. You know, Sydney, Gale, and Dewey. Sydney and Dewey had like a relationship because of Tatum, but Gale was just like the, you know, she was just that bitch that nobody fucked with. And then in like season 2, nobody still fucked with her. And then well, Scream 2, nobody still fucked with her. And then Scream 3 comes, and it's like, okay, I'll kind of put you in, right? And then Scream 4, she's like, hey, and Sydney's like, hi, Gail. Like,
she's like the...
But it's like...
Yeah, the oddball.
I love it, because it's like, it establishes in all of these films that, like, even though everyone may drift apart and be separate at the beginning of these films, they become a unit. So I definitely want to see where our characters would go separately and together, and how our dynamic would be as, you know, a duo or a trio or our own little core four. So yes.
And that's something I had mentioned, like the whole injustice with every character, just because, you know, you're born into the family that you're born into, you know, that's just life. You can't choose your family. However, with the things that these characters go through, it's almost like you do get to choose your family. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So there's a lot of trauma bonding, but just, you know, relationships form throughout the film, and it's very exciting to see.
It is. I love it so much. And it's like, one thing that I will say is that to bounce off of that, not only did relationships develop in this film, but also off screen, because there's so many of us who are going to be working together on other projects outside of this too. So it's so great that like we formed this huge family dynamic, and it's like, we know who we want to work with and who we can bring back and like who we vibe with. And it's like, fortunately, that was the whole cast for us. Like, there was never one person that made us feel weird. So it was like, you know, like we literally all adore each other. And that's one thing that I really love about it. But yeah, I honestly, not to sound cliche, but before I let you go, because again, I know you have so much going on today and you are like super busy, but I do want to be a little cliche and ask you, Arthur Angelo, what's your favorite scary movie?
My favorite scary movie. You know what movie I love? I think it's just...
I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I Know What You Did Last Summer. How'd you know?
This is what I mean. We know each other. I love it so much.
It is. Actually, yes, I Know What You Did Last Summer, the first one. What I love about the film, even when you like think of the poster has that blue hue to it, and you watch the film, because I just watched it recently again, and the film has like this low-key blue feel and vibe and blue hue to it. And what I loved about it is there's a lot of suspense. It's story driven. And of course there's blood, but it's almost like the way that the director pursued that vision, it was like less is more, and it still hit as bad. You know what I mean? And I adore that film. I know you did that summer.
It's such a good film. Like, it is. It's literally a classic, and it's like, I'm sure we'll touch base more on it once I have you back for the Sarah Michelle Gellar episode that we're going to do later on that we won't talk about. But,
Can I say justice for Helen? Justice for Helen.
I knew you were going to go there. I knew you. Hey, you never know. They're doing the requel. For all you know, she could have a twin sister that's out there somewhere. Or she could come back and play another character. Because you know me, I love some S&G.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, I feel, if I were to answer that question outside of Scream.
What's your favorite scary movie?
No, seriously, I personally would have to say that it is a juggle between, it's a juggle between the original Black Christmas and not the one that came out in like 2014, but like the other one that had Michelle Trachtenberg in it and Katie Cassidy. I'm a sucker for Katie Cassidy. Justice for her, because she should have been the final girl in A Nightmare on Elm Street. We're going to save that for another conversation too. But I definitely loved both the original Black Christmas and the remake, the 2006 or 7 remake. I can't remember what year it came out, but I think it's one of those.
The good remake.
And the reason I feel that way is because the original, I remember watching this movie in like 2000. I was born in 94. My youngest little sister was born in 2003. I remember watching the original in like 2005 with my mom. And that film caused me so much dread. I was like, oh, hell no. Like, and it's so crazy because I'm the type of person who can watch The Human Centipede or The Hills Have Eyes religiously. No problem. But yikes, right? But those films just filled me with so much dread. And then the remake just took it to a whole nother level. Like, that ice skate, hands down top tier. It'll always be something that I remember. But yes, I definitely love both of those. And I Know What You Did Last Summer is definitely in my top 10. She didn't make it to my 5, but she's definitely in my top 10. I'm not giving my top 5. That'll probably get me canceled, so we're not doing that today. But I adore you so much. I thank you so much for even giving me your time, because like I said, I know you are ripping and running around today and you have so much going on. So, to wrap this up and in closing, Mr. Artie McFly, what do you have next for everyone to look forward to?
Well, following this production, hopefully I have another one lined up. So fingers crossed. Besides that, I am always working on my music. My album that I'm working on right now is called Above All Oceans, Beneath All Clouds. And it tells a good story. I love it because I get to direct the movie. You know, I get to write it and direct it. Every song is a scene. And so it's my life story. So, yeah, Above All Oceans, Beneath All Clouds. And then fingers crossed, guys. I got another production coming soon.
Fingers crossed. Definitely fingers crossed. And knowing you and how great you are, your pen is untouched and unchallenged. So I'm sure your talent will definitely have you doing something in the near future after all of this is done. But was there anything else that you wanted to add? Anything that you wanted to say before I let you go?
I just want to send my sincere appreciation and gratitude to be a part, not only of this production, but even just this right now, to have this conversation. It's been fun.
Of course. You know, if there's one thing that I can actually say that I pride myself on, it is the people that I have in my corner and in my circle right now. I definitely feel like we did a really good job with casting, but most importantly, I feel like we did a great job with hiring a team, you included, because with me stepping back and doing the podcast and doing so many other things that I'm doing, I was so fortunate and I'm so blessed and appreciative. And literally, it was an honor to even be directed by you. So I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And I really enjoyed the team that, you know, that we had and that I was fortunate enough to be a part of. So I thank you. I love you in our own little way. We're back, but it's fine. It's totally fine. See, it would have been great to see. It would be great to have that though for another 2, 3, 4 films. I'm not going to lie. I feel like people would love it.
I really think it's going to be well received because of the atmosphere on set has just been so close knit. You know, we talk a lot about the characters becoming family, and like you said, the team really did become a family, and I love them all.
Most definitely. Well, Arthur Angelo, Max Altieri, it was amazing having you, and I can't wait to have you again once our release happens and all of us are here. It'll be a party.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Artie. And I am going to let you go. Once again, you guys, it is your ghostess with the mostest, Salem. And I am joined by the amazingly talented and the amazingly beautiful hearted Arthur Angelo. You have a great day, Artie.
You too, Salem. Bye. Bye.